Okay, so get this. We're diving into Nazi UFOs today. You know, all those rumors of like secret Nazi technology and hidden bunkers and maybe even Hitler escaping on a rocket. Wild stuff. But before we grab our tinfoil hats, we're grounding ourselves with Maurizio Verga's Flying Saucers from Naziland. He digs into the social history behind these myths, not just the same old stories.
Right, it's more about understanding why people believed and still believe these tales. Verga argues that World War II created this breeding ground for extraordinary claims, and not just about the Nazis.
Because wartime equals crazy rumors, right? Was it really the fog of war that made anything seem possible?
Exactly. Imagine it's 1943, you're being constantly bombarded with propaganda whispers of terrifying new weapons are everywhere. Add in the very real stress and danger if you were, say, a soldier on the front lines.
Suddenly, some shadowy figure claiming to have seen a Nazi superweapon doesn't sound so crazy.
Precisely. And here's the thing. The Germans were ahead of the game technologically in some areas. We're talking V2 rockets, jet prototypes. This wasn't science fiction. They were pushing boundaries.
Okay, that changes things. So it's not just paranoia. There's a basis for thinking, well, if they can do that, what else are they hiding?
And that's where the lines get blurry. Verga uses this phrase, circular sourcing, where one unsubstantiated story gets repeated until it becomes fact. The fog of war makes it really tough to separate truth from tall tales.
And speaking of tall tales, enter the Foo Fighters. Now we're getting to the good stuff. You sent over some pilot accounts, Edgar Clark, describing this glowing red ball following his plane, no matter what maneuvers he tried. Then there's that bomber crew witnessing a silent mid-air explosion. Chills, right? But were these real objects or just wartime hallucinations?
That's the million-dollar question. And as Verga points out, it's almost impossible to say for sure after all these years. You have to factor in the conditions. Pilots under unimaginable stress flying dangerous missions often at night.
Plus, eyewitness accounts are notoriously unreliable, even without a war going on.
Exactly. Add in wartime censorship where reports were often filtered or suppressed entirely, and you've got a real challenge for researchers.
So we may never know what those pilots really saw. Makes you wonder how many other strange events were chalked up to wartime weirdness and forgotten.
It's certainly possible, but even without definitive answers, the Foo Fighters planted a seed. This idea of secret advanced German aircraft was out there. And as we'll see in the years after the war, that seed would take root and grow into something much larger.
And we're back. Before the break, we were talking about the Foo Fighters, those weird lights spotted by pilots during the war. They kind of planted the seed for this whole Nazi UFO thing, huh?
Exactly. And as we move into the post-war period, that seed starts to sprout some seriously wild ideas.
Because suddenly it's not just blurry lights in the sky. Now we're talking flying saucers with swastikas, hidden Nazi bases in Antarctica, the works.
You got it. Verga traces this shift from like German saucers to full-blown Nazi UFOs. He talks about these colorful characters that started popping up, each claiming to have played a part in developing this secret technology.
All right, we've got the watchmaker, the plumber. It's like a whole league of extraordinary gentlemen, but with blueprints instead of monocles.
It's fascinating. These figures often had some technical knowledge, maybe a bit of wartime experience, but then they'd weave in these outlandish stories, drawing on rumors, and let's just say a bit of imagination.
And it's the post-war year, so people are primed for this kind of thing. Cold War paranoia is in full swing, right?
Absolutely. Suddenly, any advanced technology equals suspicion. Are the Soviets behind it? Or worse, are the Nazis helping them? The lines get really blurry.
So anything even remotely high-tech gets lumped into this Cold War fear-mongering. I can see how a Nazi UFO would fit right in.
And let's not forget the human element. People love a good conspiracy theory. The idea that governments are hiding captured Nazi tech, that there's this secret knowledge out there, it's tantalizing.
Like finding out your grandfather wasn't just a clockmaker, he was building death rays for Hitler. Okay, maybe not that extreme, but you get the idea.
Exactly. And Verga argues that this fascination with secret knowledge plays a huge role in why these stories stick around. Plus, the media ate it up.
Oh, for sure. Headlines like Hitler escaped to the moon in a flying saucer, it practically writes itself.
You're not wrong. The media, especially the tabloids, sensationalize these stories, often presenting them as fact without any real evidence. And once those stories are out there circulating, it's hard to reel them back in.
So we've got this perfect storm of Cold War paranoia, a fascination with the occult and conspiracy theories, and a media landscape that thrives on the sensational. It's no wonder these Nazi UFO stories took off like a rocket.
And some of those stories are hard to ignore, even if you're skeptical. Like the case of the Horton brothers, these brilliant engineers who pioneered flying wing designs. Their aircraft really did resemble some UFO descriptions.
So their work gets mistaken for flying saucers. It's not that far-fetched, right?
It's possible, but Verges is careful to point out the lack of concrete evidence. He highlights how many of these Nazi UFO claims rely on what he calls circular sourcing. One person's speculation gets repeated enough times, and suddenly it's treated like historical fact.
It's like a game of telephone, but with Nazi technology instead of whispered secrets.
Exactly. And this is where critical thinking becomes so important. Just because a story is exciting or fits a certain narrative doesn't make it true.
Which brings us to some of the more outlandish claims. Like that guy, T. Kelterborn, who wrote to U.S. officials claiming he invented the flying saucers. Or the story of Bernardi, who was convinced Hitler was alive and launching these saucers from a secret submarine base.
Right. Those are prime examples of the kinds of claims Vergode dissects. He points out inconsistencies, missing evidence, and the motivations people might have for fabricating these stories. He's like a detective trying to separate fact from fiction.
Except his clues are blurry photos of saucers and firsthand accounts from people who might be, shall we say, a little too invested in the idea of Nazi UFOs. I have to ask, what does Verget ultimately conclude about these wilder claims?
Well, let's just say he encourages a healthy dose of skepticism. We'll dig into that more after the break.
And we're back. This whole Nazi UFO thing, it's like a crash course in how history and technology and good old-fashioned storytelling can collide.
It really highlights how our fascination with the unknown can, like, blend with real-world anxieties, especially during times of upheaval, like the post-war period.
Right. It's not just about spaceships. It's about what those spaceships represent.
Yeah.
Secret knowledge, hidden enemies, the possibility that someone, somewhere, is way ahead of the game.
And the media plays a key role in all of this. Verga argues they don't just report on these stories, they actively shape them.
Like we're talking about a time when a sensational headline could make or break a publication, right? Suddenly, even the most outlandish Nazi UFO tale becomes front page news.
Exactly. And once that story is out there circulating in the public consciousness, it takes on a life of its own. Separating fact from fiction becomes incredibly difficult.
Which is why Verga stresses the importance of critical thinking. It's like he's handing us a BS detector and saying, okay, now apply this to everything you hear, especially if it sounds too good to be true.
He's not saying we should dismiss everything out of hand, but we should approach these claims with a healthy dose of skepticism, asking questions, looking for evidence.
So what happens when we apply that skepticism to the wildest parts of the Nazi UFO myth? The anti-gravity, the interstellar travel, the whole nine yards. What does Verga say about that?
Well, he suggests those elements might be later additions to the myth, possibly inspired by science fiction or even occult beliefs, as if the idea of a Nazi flying saucer wasn't bizarre enough.
It's like they took this kernel of a story, maybe based on some real wartime tech, maybe not, and then just kept adding layers of crazy on top of it.
It's a fascinating example of how myths evolve, picking up new details and interpretations over time. And it speaks to our enduring fascination with the idea that something extraordinary might be lurking just beyond our understanding.
So where does this leave us? What's the takeaway for our listener, especially after diving into all this with a critical eye?
I think the key is to hold on to that sense of wonder, that curiosity about the unknown, but to temper it with a healthy dose of skepticism. We can be fascinated by the possibility of Nazi UFOs without taking every claim at face value.
It's about finding that balance between open-mindedness and critical thinking. Not an easy task, but this deep dive has given us the tools to do just that. And who knows, maybe somewhere out there, in some dusty archive or forgotten hangar, the real story of Nazi UFOs is waiting to be uncovered. But until then, we'll keep questioning, keep exploring, and keep you informed.
And maybe keep a healthy supply of tinfoil on hand, just in case.
Always be prepared. That's our motto here at The Deep Dive. Thanks for joining us on this wild ride. Until next time.